We're talking about China. The global economic crisis seems to follow an old rule. The bigger they are, the harder they fall. And China is no exception. Yesterday, in a speech to China's Congress, Prime Minister Wen Jiabao said that 2009 may be the most difficult year for China's economic growth in the past decade. We've got Mark Williams, a China economy expert from Capital Economics, to help explain the prediction. He's a professor of finance at Peking University. Mark, what kind of economic trouble is the Chinese prime minister talking about?
Well, of course, China is an economy that's used to growing extremely rapidly. Over the last 30 years since it started to open up, GDP growth has averaged around 10%. Each year. And as recently as 2007, the economy was growing by something like 13%. But that has all come to a crashing end. By the end of last year, the economy was growing by just 6.8%. And the more recent figures suggest that growth has slowed even further. So, I mean, these growth numbers, these slowing growth numbers are a shock in themselves. But from the point of view of Wen Jiabao and the Chinese government, perhaps a bigger concern is what this implies for what's happening to employment. Because, of course, the parts of the Chinese economy that have been hit hardest in this downturn are the export sector, which is a big employer of migrant workers, and also the construction sector, which is another big employer. So as bad as the GDP numbers are, I think that their big concern is what's happening to the jobless numbers.
Now, what's the solution to a situation like this, which is so clearly intertwined with the U.S. economy, the EU economy, the entire world economy?
Well, China has some advantages. For one thing, it doesn't have the financial sector problems that that are really holding us back in the developed economies. But as elsewhere, China really is in search of extra demand for its output. And so the solution, in a sense, is fairly simple, of just of boosting demand. They've come up with new spending packages. They've made a big deal of talking about their fiscal stimulus. The problem, though, is that for China, a large part of its growth over the last few years has been driven by investment and exports. And a lot of that investment was in the export sector on the idea that these factories would ultimately be able to ship their goods to the rest of the world. And so although China may be able to, over the next few months, by increasing its own spending, may be able to boost demand within China, it really needs to find a new way to support its growth in the years ahead, because it's going to be a fair while, I think, before demand. Demand growth from the developed world picks up back to the sort of rates we've seen in the last few years.
This demand issue, Mark Williams, is a bit of a devil, though, that you've raised, and it's a political devil. I mean, with a billion people, China, as you have mentioned, does have some options in spurring demand within its own borders. But some commentators have remarked that having an export-driven economy means it's much easier for the government to kind of control the manifestations of wealth in a growing place like China, and that once you shift to build demand more in the villages, in the cities, away from a sort of centralized export-driven economy, you also potentially breed political instability, the aspirations of people in various places in China could fuel a political instability. And with 26 million unemployed, that's a pretty potent brew.
I would rather argue that the opposite is the case. If you look at, in China at the moment, those who've done best out of the boom of the last few years, the middle classes, are among those that are most supportive of the current regime, of the Communist Party. They have no reason to want things to change. They've done extremely well. If this downturn does worsen, and if it lasts for a lot longer, then we're going to see a lot of discontent in the countryside amongst the migrants who have been sent back to the countryside, amongst young people who can't find work. So I think that's a bigger threat to the Chinese Communist Party than would be trying to increase incomes in rural communities, among poor households, trying to boost their consumption, which will help the economy grow much faster in the years ahead.
When you think about China's problems, are they going to boomerang on the U.S. directly? Will there be any direct effects? We're, you know, up to our waist in our own issues. But what about the question of, you know, I mean, there's still a lot of demand for cheaper goods. People may not be buying now, but you know, is this going to mitigate?
Well, there was some hope earlier on. A few months ago, people were hoping that China, because after all, China is still growing. It's one of the very few decent-sized economies that is growing at all, and it's still growing by maybe 5-7% at the moment. So, from a Western point of view, that's pretty good. However, I think it's too late now to hope that Chinese demand will provide much of a support for the rest of the world. China doesn't import that much, certainly from the US. Doesn't import a great deal from Europe. It imports kind of capital goods from Germany. It imports obviously a lot of commodities.
Mark, I've just quickly before we go, some commentators have suggested that political instability is much more likely at growth below 8%, and that above 8%, China's government is pretty safe. Do you buy that very quickly?
The 8% number, I don't put a lot of weight on. What really matters is what's happening to unemployment. If they can structure their growth so that it's better for jobs, then that will be better for overall stability.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.